This is a most holy day for us. It is the last day of the octave of Christmas. And it is on this day that the Blessed Mother took her son and Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse and the putative father of our Lord, accompanied them, just as we have seen, particularly yesterday, that God and the angels told him, take the mother and her child, never saying, take your child, which would have been the normal thing. The mother presented Jesus in the temple for the circumcision. Now, 40 days after Christmas, Candlemas Day, the purification of the Blessed Mother, the presentation of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the temple, they would fulfill the law which was made for us, not for them, but to give us example. They fulfill the law. Today, they fulfill the law as well. 8 days after his birth, he is brought to the temple and he is circumcised, as all Hebrew boys were circumcised according to the law of Moses given to him by God. Today, too, in a very special way, because of her principal, primordial role in the history of salvation, we have the wonderful event that we remember, that which we have already celebrated in the Gregorian Rite several months ago, the maternity, the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin. Those things cannot be separated. They are one. The Holy Catholic faith is one. And so one thing cannot be separated from the other. As I have taught always from the past to now and the future, as long as I have breath, the Holy Catholic faith is like a magnificent Gothic cathedral, and especially the rose window of a Gothic cathedral. And if you take one buttress down, they all begin to weaken, and eventually the whole cathedral falls. If you take one of the beautiful lace-like pieces of stone that hold the rose windows of a cathedral, of a Gothic cathedral, it all begins to fall apart. And so too is the same thing with the Holy Catholic faith, for which we are most grateful, most thankful, especially on this first day of the calendar year of grace 2024, though we have already begun on the first Sunday of Advent. But the Holy Catholic faith, if you take away one little tenet and say, well, that's not a dogma, and you take another one, that's not a dogma, and you know, the liberals are very legalistic. They like to make up their own laws. And that's not the way it is. It is one Holy Catholic and Apostolic faith. So you cannot take away this or that or the other and survive. And of course, we see all around us that which is happening in the church and in the world. If we are going to be traditional, then we're going to be traditional. And that's it. We're not going to pick and choose like they do. Oh, this is a holy day. That's not a holy day. It is for us a holy day. It is the circumcision of the Son of God as man. And it recalls to us the wonderful divine maternity of Mary most holy. If St. John the 23rd, whom I love dearly, had realized what was going to happen, he would have jumped in the Tiber River rather than done what he did. But even saints make mistakes. Don't forget that. So if you make mistakes, remember, you can still be a saint. Adam and Eve are saints, and they screwed everything up for everybody forever. So if they are saints, you can be a saint. So today we rejoice. We do not only rejoice because of the ridiculous New Year's Day in the calendar, because every day for God is a new day, a new year. We rejoice because it is the circumcision of our Lord on the 8th day after Christmas. Now, that doesn't mean that Christmas is over. The other day, I had to correct a particular person who should have known better, When they say, well, after Christmas Day, it's all over. I said, what? Do you realize what you're saying? It is the 40 days of Christmas. Christmas ends on the Feast of the Purification, on the Feast of the Presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple. Today is the last day of the octave, but Christmas is not over. We have later this week the feast, the great feast of the Epiphany, which in the whole world until recently, like everything, was a holy day of obligation. I don't understand where they come up with these things. They're trying to make religion easy. You know, first you do that, and then you bless this, and then you bless that. Not here. And I don't care if I will be canceled. I already have made my plans, and God has made his plans. And so that's it. In the meantime, we commend ourselves. We commend the church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, of which there is no other, and outside of which there is no salvation. We commend that to the Blessed Mother on this very special day of hers. And we ask God Almighty to deliver us from the punishment that we have received for our sins. And remember, there are several sins of this age, of your lives too, perhaps. You know, I don't know. There is the greatest sin of all of this age is the sin of ingratitude. We are not grateful to God enough, or to the Mary, or the saints, or to me, or to you, or to each other. The sin of ingratitude, a most ugly, disgusting sin, enough to make one vomit. And then, of course, there is the sin of pride. We can't go there because that would take too long. And third of all, the sin that afflicts this age, and I especially warn you parents, with all those little TVs, as I call them, the cell phones. I don't know, I never get anything on my cell phone, so I don't know what it is that people are doing. I think they're looking for it themselves. The sin of lust, of pornography, of impurity. St. Alphonsus Liguori, the patron saint of moral theologians, says that any sin of thought, word, or deed of impurity is a mortal sin. Other people say, oh no, well, this explains this and this explains that. No. Those three sins are bringing the church down. And look at all the bishops and priests that have joined in to that nonsense. So today we commend Our Lady, the most pure, holy, immaculate Virgin Mary, to protect us from all these sins. And the Blessed Mother, every day through the mouth of the church, especially the clergy, but you can join in too. There you can join in. They did before. My grandparents and parents would go to Vespers at the local monastery of the Poor Clares, which they supported, almost every day. They were lay people. They were third order, tertiaries of the Franciscan order, but that is okay. But one, all the faithful of the church can participate in the divine liturgy of the hours. And in the Divine Liturgy of the Hours and the Hour of Vespers, we have the witness of the Most Holy Mary, whose example we should imitate. And what do we pray at Vespers every single day? Magnificat anima mea Dominum, et exultavit spiritus meus in Deus Salvatore meo. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That is a magnificent canticle of thanksgiving from Mary, the Mother of God, to the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Blessed Mother gives us the example of gratitude. She who is immaculate gives us the example of complete and total holiness, of purity, and charity, the highest that was had by anyone except Christ. So today, let us give thanks to God. And as we have begun a new calendar year, let us pray that we will begin the next one, all in one piece. And if God chooses to call any of us to himself this year, may we be ready. In the meantime, we commend ourselves to God Almighty through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Before the Mass, we heard the beautiful hymn of the Veni Creator Spiritus, which is traditional to be sung. And that way we implore the Holy Spirit to guide our every step during this whole year. And today we will have the second day of the Novena to Our Lady of Prompt Succor, and we beseech her to continue to bless us and help us as we celebrate these holy days, these 40 days of Christmas. Remember, there is no better way to do so than with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and with the Holy Rosary. Do as she says. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.